Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another summer bonus episode of this little intermediary period. I really hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kira last week, really 2 weeks ago in the last episode. She's one of my favorite people in the dating expert space. And so if you are looking for, a different person to learn from as I'm transitioning my business, I can't recommend her work enough. And regardless if you begin to follow her, I highly, highly recommend listening to the interview that I did with her last week. Again, it's just this episode right above this one. She's so smart. I wholeheartedly trust her. And the episode is just really important to listen to for singles and for people who are dating. Because we talk a lot about how we got to the state of dating right now. So she actually has a little bit more of a historical knowledge around dating than I do. So I learned a ton and it really made a lot of sense as to where we are now, why dating's broken and what you can do to, be a part of the solution. So really, really important episode, I think. And then we also talk about online dating. And I've said this before, we have different opinions about online dating. And regardless of our difference in opinions, I think, though, what she talked about is really important information for you to know, just so you can be smart about online dating and use it to, the best you can. And also, most importantly, to stay safe. So just make sure you listen to that episode. It doesn't have to be before this one by any stretch. Just put it like in your play next queue or whatever on whatever app you're listening to. And I definitely think it'll be well worth your time. And honestly, like, we could have kept talking. She's just one of those friends like that. And they're the best. Okay, so this week, this episode is a little bit different. So I was on Kira's podcast. She has a podcast called Reinventing Dating. I was on her podcast probably around the time this is released, maybe about 6 weeks ago or so, and she had me on her show to talk all about money and dating and relationships and money, I can definitely jam out about that. And so regardless of whether or not you are, not dating anyone, just had a first date, on a fifth date, 5 years in, whatever it is, I think what I share is pretty important stuff. So I wanted to air this episode onto, my podcast just to give you some bonus content while I'm in this in-between stage. And also, to give you another introduction to Kira, although I'm the one in the hot seat. So it's always kind of fun, when I listen to a podcast and, I'm used to the host being the host. And then if I see them on another podcast and they're the guest and the interviewee, it's just interesting, the difference in the energy. So you'll get to hear that. Anyways, I think you'll like this episode. It obviously is about my new wheelhouse, money, but it's combining my two wheelhouses, money and love. And it's important information, I think, that everyone should know. And I think that there is a misunderstanding, or is it a myth, a misunderstanding? I'm not really sure, but I think a lot of, especially women, are kind of socialized to believe that money is taboo or makes you greedy if you want more of it, or like if you loan someone money and then you want to be paid back, which is a reasonable thing to want, like it's wrong or greedy or shallow of you to, you know, ask for it, you know, things like that, right? And so I think because of like this like ickiness around money, especially when it comes to dating and relationships and intimacy and all those things, it becomes this topic of like, oh, well, you know, we have to talk about that later. That's a more serious topic. That's a deeper topic. And yeah, when you're talking about some money conversations, for sure, like that's definitely going to some money conversations, like around like, hey, how much do you actually make? Like, do you have debt? Like that kind of stuff. Sure, that is probably not the best conversation in the world for the first date. But money conversations can happen, and in my opinion, should happen. I mean, first few dates at the latest, but even possibly before the date, because here's the thing. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to get in. We're just going to go right to the interview because I'm already getting into what I talked about. So I don't want you to hear it twice. So without further ado, let's get to Kira interviewing me about dating and relationships and money.
You guys, I am so excited. Today I have Veronica Grant. She is an amazing woman, coach, confidant, colleague. I have a shit ton of respect for her, and I have even more respect for what we're going to talk about today, which is something that I know jack shit about. So that's why we try to bring on other people. But we're going to talk about finances and why that's important to think about before we start dating, while we're dating, and what do we need to know. So welcome, Veronica.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here, and I could talk about money all day long. So not that we'll do that all day long, but I could.
and that's okay, because that's the type of people I like, who basically could talk about their topic for like 3 days straight. I'm the same way, right?
So. Yeah, I would like still be talking, and everyone else would be like, you know, pass out, fast asleep. And I'd be like, guys, don't you want to hear about 401ks and the difference between that and a Roth and like what you want to do? And I'd be like, no.
And I'm like, no. Yes, exactly. But here's what I know, and like that we don't talk about enough, which is a lot of times when we jump into relationships, a lot of time when we get excited and the chemistry and everything else that's happening, we can sometimes move in very quickly. We can sometimes I see people who have bought houses with people that they barely know, and then they are fucked.
Yeah,
they are fucked, because like there's something about that trust and that chemistry and that belief that you're in love that we make decisions that are sometimes not long-term smart. So The first question, like I said, is what do we need to think about before we're even dating people about, you know, finances and what we should be thinking about and looking for? Talk to me.
Well, I think like many things before you date, you've got to have right relationship with money, with yourself, right? And I think a lot of times people interpret that as, oh, I need to have my debt paid off, or I need to own my own house, or whatever tangible, you know, hard aspects we can think of when it comes to money. And like, look, if those are goals of yours, like by all means, like keep going at them. But I think you can think of those goals outside of the context of like that being some sort of like mile marker, saying you're ready to date or not date. I think what's more important is the more soft aspects to money, the intangible aspects. So what is your relationship with money? Like, do you get all queasy and like, oh, every time you log into your bank account, or do you just not log into your bank account at all?
I mean, I hope we're not personally asking me, because
no, I'm not personally asking
because I'm like, I don't want to be outed on this podcast.
Also, you know, other things to look at is, you know, in my opinion, money is an extension of our values, right? Like we can literally use money to create not just the lifestyle and the life like an individual person wants, but like what you want the world to look like. And I know that sounds like maybe a little Pollyanna-ish, but rich people do this all the time in the form of political donations. And so regular old people can do that in much smaller scales as well in your own neighborhoods and communities and towns that you live in. So is there an alignment between where you're spending your money and what your values are for both yourself and then also your larger community? And then I think also having your money story cleared, which
I'm sure I have a money story. I'm sure I do.
Yeah. Like how was money talked about or not talked about in your home growing up? And so we all heard these adages like money doesn't grow on trees, or money makes the world go round, or money is the root of all evil, or money's necessary evil. Like, what do you think I'm made out of? Money? Like if you're if you asked your parents for something like that, and these things seem innocent and maybe just like, well, that's just how it is enough. However, they can have a huge impact on how you treat money and how you treat yourself with your money as an adult. So for example, if you always heard, what do you think I am, made of money, or money doesn't grow on trees, like those kinds of comments, then you might kind of, as an adult, get to a place where like, I can't spend money on myself other than my necessities. Like that makes, that's wrong for some reason. You might have the specific beliefs depending on your background or your upbringing, but that will absolutely impact you today. And that can affect your literal bottom line.
Absolutely.
And also can it just affect how you feel about yourself, like not being valuable or worth it enough to, you know, buy yourself a goddamn bouquet of flowers at Trader Joe's and you go like, you know what I mean?
I don't know if you know, Veronica, my love for Trader Joe's, but it is deep and it is wide. And there's like, I literally say I love Trader Joe's every single day. But I think you're just making such great points of just like, number one, I think we use sometimes like, I have to have my debt paid off. I have to have this, this, and this in a perfect place before I get into a relationship or before. And we use that as just another way to maybe procrastinate going after a relationship or going after, you know, so that's one thing. And just kind of like, if that's a goal, great, but that's not necessarily true or important in starting a relationship. Just having a plan.
The thing is, like, you can always move the goalpost back.
Right.
And like, at least in my world, ideally you always have new money goals. Right. So this is like a never ending game.
Absolutely. But you know, I know that.
Sorry, were we going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I know that you're right about money stories because I'm from a small town in Wisconsin, right? I am, you know, my parents were teachers. We did not have a ton of money. Most of my grandparents were teachers. So we were just kind of like a lower middle class. But since we were from a small town, we were probably more middle class. But I know for a fact that I still struggle with how and when to spend money because of just that culture around me of like, here's what we spend money on and here is not what we spend money on. Or you never want to look like, you know, you've spent a certain amount of money, like that doesn't look good to neighbors and that doesn't, you know, that. And it's just, it's very interesting even on in my business, what I feel comfortable charging or what I feel comfortable versus somebody who maybe grew up in New York and there's just knowledge or foundation of this is what people pay and this is what people don't. Like I still struggle with that just because it was so like, you know, this is what you do with money. Money is, you know, necessity, but it's not good. Right. And people who have it, you know, take advantage of others and things like that. And I've had to work through that, some of that, and some of it I'm still working through.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
it's deeply ingrained. And I guess to clarify, not to say that you have to have all of your intangible money shit in order before you date, going back to the original question, because again, like it is like, it's a journey and like, when will we get there? Who knows? But I do think that it's important to, I don't have like a set, like you need to feel exactly this way because I mean, that's impossible to have that kind of standard, but it certainly needs to be strong enough within yourself to where you're not swayed or easily manipulated or, don't have like any like legs to stand on when you do talk about money with someone you're dating or a new partner or whatnot. Because if you've never thought about your money in a kind of like this sense that we're talking about here, and then all of a sudden you get into a relationship with someone who sees money as a completely different way, like maybe they just like blow money all the freaking time And you're like, that doesn't feel right, but I can't exactly say why. And I also don't feel comfortable saying why.
Right.
Like, that's going to create some conflict. But if you've done your own work and you have at least like the tools and some of the language around this, then you can say, hey, like this kind of spending doesn't make me feel very comfortable, but I recognize that you might like to spend your money here, whereas I don't. So let's find something where we both feel like we're getting those needs and wants met. Right. So-
I bet you have thoughts about this, and I don't mean to like, I like to keep things positive, but is there anything or any behavior that we should be watching for, right? If we meet somebody, and I realize maybe we all spend money a little differently, or we all learned about money a little differently, but is there something where you're like, okay, if you start dating somebody and these are some clear signs, that's possibly a red flag or even emotional unavailability. You're just not ready for a relationship.
Yes, that's a great question. So there's two categories to this. There's the ones that you can see in plain sight and then the ones you can't,
right?
Like if you Google like top 10 financial red flags, which I did the other day, because I was curious what was out there.
How was it? Was it good or not so good?
Yeah, I thought there was some good stuff, but I also okay. thought there was some stuff where I was like, well, how would you know?
Right.
So like some of the financial red flags is that they're hiding money. Or they're in a lot of debt. And it's like, yeah, like, okay, fine. Once you like get to know someone, maybe you can get like a sense, like something fishy is going on, or I don't know where they're getting the money to spend on that kind of stuff. Once you know, like their right. financial background, but I would not call those like hiding in plain sight. Like you wouldn't necessarily know that, especially if you're like on the first few dates with someone that you're getting to know. So I'm really interested in people learning the red flags that you can see right there.
Right.
Because usually they're like the tips of the icebergs to other issues. So the number one, and I truly do think this trumps everything, is just a lack of ability or willingness to talk about money.
Yes.
And especially when it's like, oh, I don't want to kill the vibes, or like, oh, let's not talk about that. Like, and like they kind of like try to make it seem like, oh, but they're just trying to like be romantic with me and not want to talk about something dirty like money or not like in a sexual way. Right. And I'm just like, no, that is like the biggest financial red flag that I can think of. And you can see that as early as date one, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And is there something that a green flag that we would look out for? Like what is, so if kind of like a red flag, which I, you know, I feel like anybody who's not willing to talk about kind of just the normal things that are important in relationships and money being one of them, right? Is a red flag. What do you feel like is a green flag that you see somebody doing while you're dating?
Well, one, just like a willingness to talk about it, an openness to talk about it, a comfort around talking about money. I really appreciate like any kind of like thinking through money, right? Like I always talk about how early on in dating, at least in my experience, it's a little bit more expensive than your normal day-to-day life might be, right? Like, I mean, maybe right. I'm just talking as an introvert because I am introvert. I'm like, oh, I have to go to see people. Like, oh. but like, I'm not the one that's like always hitting up like the clubs or the bars or going out to dinner all the time because it's just not my, locale. So for me, like dating was a lot more expensive. And so I think just having like a conversation like, hey, like, you know, we've been dating for, we've gone on a few dates. How do you feel like current levels of spending are? Like, are you comfortable with it? Would you like to pull back and maybe focus more on like, I was living in DC, so like the zoo and the museums and all that stuff are free. So that's a little different. But, you know, just having a conversation around like the kind of money that we're spending on dating right now and, you know, more or less or about the same, like where do they feel? And if they have like an answer that clearly shows that they think about where their money goes, where they don't spend money, where they do spend money, I think that's all that, I mean, to me, that's the biggest green flag there is, because you're not going to find someone that has the exact same financial or money values as you do. You're not going to find someone who loves to spend money on the same categories you love to spend money on. and I think you can even have partners with like different saving or investing or just managing money styles, which my husband and I do, which I'm happy to talk about. But I think that as long as there's like a willingness and an ability to just have a conversation without it being like a thing, I mean, to me, I'm like, you know, green flags ahead, like keep moving forward. I think you're in good shape.
And I mean, I think that like you're talking about a topic near and dear to my heart, which is I think dating should be like we should be aiming more for like creative or action dates than expensive dates.
Yeah. Just because especially, I don't think especially early on, you know.
Right. Because I mean, you know, ultimately with things like online dating or just we're dating a lot of different people versus what would have maybe happened, you know, 75, 100 yeah. years ago. And so I just don't think anybody should have to like get a part-time job to afford to date.
Right.
You know, I really encourage, you know, like coffee dates or ice cream dates or just even, you know, like I said, more like, you know, go bowling. That's not, you know, crazy expensive. And it just, mm-hmm. It doesn't feel as romantic, but you're going to learn a shit ton more. And honestly, once again, money should never get in the way of early dates in my mind, right? Yeah. Like, you know, like somebody should not have to sit here and feel like they are throwing a ton of money down just to get to know you.
Totally. I completely agree. And I think one thing that a lot of women see as green or red flags is whether, especially in heterosexual dating, like if the guy pays or offers or yeah. that whole thing. And like, if the guy pays, whatever, you know, I do think it's good etiquette to offer to split or to pay your part or whatever. But I think a lot of times, I mean, there can be some red flags with his, if he doesn't offer, not because he should.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
But in the way he does it, right? So like what I've noticed sometimes is women will get frustrated if they
just put it because I'm pretty vocal on pay for your own shit for the first couple of days.
Yeah, no, I totally am too, but I think though that here's the thing. I think that a lot of men feel like, why do I keep paying for all these one date wonders, essentially,
right?
maybe 2 or 3 date wonder, which I think is a fair frustration on their part. But instead of just being like a grown up about it and saying, hey, do you mind if we split this or something like that, just having a normal conversation, asking a normal question, there's like this weird like, well, I'm not going to grab the bill, or I'm going to like try to get there early and order my drink first and then sit down and pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, there's just like, clearly they don't want to pay for it, but rather than like, to me, that's a red flag, right? Not because they're not paying for it, but because of the behavior that's going on around it. So I just wanted to bring that up because I'm always asked it around paying. Is it a red flag if they don't pay? And I'm like, it depends how they're playing it.
And to me, like, and you know, and I know like I have really spun away against traditional. Yeah. But I also think that there is a couple of things that are pretty shitty slash toxic when we talk about people paying, or especially guys paying. Number one, that expectation. Number two, the expectations they sometimes have because they've paid. Like,
yes. Yes.
Like this kind of this, like I actually did a podcast recently where one of my former clients went on a date, you know, kind of all the traditional, he asked her out, he paid for it. And at the end of the night, when she was not interested in staying, he played the really, but I bought you dinner and a movie card. And she was like, oh, fuck no. But the thing is that I think that on some level, you know, we are seeing people and guys regularly who are who think that you owe them something. And I mean, I just think as a woman, like, just own, you know, like if you're going up for ice cream or coffee, it's not a big deal. You pay for yourself, because let's keep this on an even, you know, level playing field for a while, because you don't want to owe that person anything. You don't want them to be, I mean, for the guys who then ask for half their money back after you reject them, like bullshit like that, like just get it out of the,
I didn't know that happened. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Oh no. Like somebody shared a story like last week about how they went on a date. That person was shitty and inappropriate and a couple of different things, you know, took them out to like this really, really nice dinner, all of this stuff. And then when my person said that they weren't interested, they're like, okay, well, dinner was actually pretty expensive. Here's your half, you know, why don't you Venmo me when you have a chance? And that is not the first time I've heard that. It's not the last time I think I'll hear that. And to me, that is 17 layers of bullshit.
Yeah. And this is where it is helpful to have those intangible aspects with money. Like we're talking about that money house in order, because I do find like, if you are incredibly uncomfortable with money, or you call yourself quote unquote bad with money, then I do think you're more susceptible to be like, well, maybe he had a point.
Or absolutely.
Maybe he was right. And it's like, no, not at all. Like he has obviously his own stuff with money and he's projecting onto you. Like, let that be his stuff, not yours. Right. And so the more you have at least that awareness, that knowledge, those terminologies, then it's much easier to just see bad behavior for what it is, which is bad behavior.
Absolutely. So tell me this. So, you know, what red flags and green flags, you know, are they willing to talk about it? Are they having kind of open and thoughtful conversations about it before we get into a relationship, or as we're getting into a relationship with somebody? What do you think, what conversations do you feel like we need to have at that point for finances to not get in the way?
Well, you need to bring your banks or your pay stubs. You need to bring your, no, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Listen, I talk about this so little for a second. I was like, oh, is she for real? Okay, fuck.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. No, you don't need to bring your pay stubs or your credit score or your bank account information. No, you don't need any of that stuff. That doesn't mean though, money is a taboo topic for later either.
Right.
Right. So I think, money conversations start on day one, in my opinion. Just with what we're talking about, like, hey, do you mind if we go Dutch on this or whatever, split it? Like, that is literally a money conversation. Is it a big money conversation in terms of like how you want money to create the life you want or the world you want or like what kind of house you want? Like, no, we're talking about like 10 bucks versus like however much money that other stuff costs, right? But you work up the ladder to those bigger conversations, literally the bigger numbers. And if those are your first conversations you're having with someone, look, you might be one of the lucky ones. And you're just both like on the same page. You're both good with money. It's like your values are congruent and like you are a lucky gal.
I feel like that's not ever going to happen. I feel like one person's a bit of a disaster. I'm the disaster in our relationship slightly. When it comes to money, I've worked on it a lot, my story and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think that anybody is. Yeah, I think that there's probably always going to be somebody who's, you know, we have a lot of people lose jobs, people, you know, things happen. So yeah, what else do you think that they should be?
So I mentioned earlier, just having a conversation around, it can be as early as date 2, 3, maybe 4. How do you feel about current levels of spending, or what kind of money do you want to spend? Like, do you want to keep things a little less expensive for right now? So that's, again, a money conversation that you can have very, very early on. Questions that you can ask as early as the first date, my two favorite ones. One is, what would you do if I won the lottery?
Yes.
I love this question. I honestly like will still ask this question to my husband from time to time because I don't know, it's fun. But I like this question because it really shows, it doesn't really give you a sense to their day-to-day spending or how they relate to the money they have now. Because the lottery is, you know, typically like a life-changing amount of money. You can retire, right. You can buy houses, you can start a foundation, you can do whatever you want, right? But that really does begin to paint a picture of what do they value, like in their lives and in the world, and what do they want to use their money, or how do they want to use their money to express those values. And so like, if they're like, oh man, I'd buy like 50 Ferraris, I'd be like, Cool. I don't know what to say here. But if they talked about like wanting to pay off like all their family members' debt and then wanting to buy themselves like a nice house and set themselves up for life and then maybe start a foundation for something they're passionate about, like, okay, that sounds actually pretty similar to what I'd want to do. Like, that's cool. So I love that question. And again, it's
I do too, actually.
It's a fun get to know you. You could ask us on like the texting or the phone call before you even like, you know, meet the person.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. It says so much about values, right? I'm really into like fun, but thought, but questions that give you information, right? Yeah. And that is one of my favorites.
Yeah. And then the other question, which sounds similar, but it's not, is what would you do with an extra $5,000? So
like,
I like
right now or monthly or like, okay.
Yeah.
Right,
like I just handed you a check for $5,000. What would you go do? And I love this question because this is going to tell you more about how they think about the money they have now. Right. Because $5,000, well, for most people, that's still like a significant amount of money. It's not a life-changing amount of money. No one's retiring after $5,000. No one's buying a dream house for $5,000 or a Ferrari or whatever. But you could pay off a significant amount of debt, or you could go on a, you know, a fairly nice vacation, or you could put that money into your retirement accounts, or you could do a little bit of everything or whatever. Right. And so this is going to tell you, like, what do they know about their finances now and how are they optimizing it?
Right.
And so this can give you a little bit more of a sense of like, do our kind of like our management styles align? Like, are they a big spender or comfortable with having like a constant 10K of credit card debt? Or do they try to keep consumer debt low and, you know,
absolutely
know, invest or whatever? And then you can just decide if that works for you or not, right? Or if that feels in alignment. And again, these are just like low pressure, fun money conversations that, by the way, you need to be ready to answer yourself. Cause if you're asking,
100%.
Then they're able to ask you back. So make sure you've got an answer yourself. So it's not just like a job interview question. It's really like truly getting to know you back and forth kind of questions. But these are just easy questions to get the money conversation like going. Cause here's what I say about money. Like, you can hate money all you want and you can hide your head in the sand, but you make money decisions every single day.
Whether you're acknowledging it or not, right?
Exactly. Every time you log into Netflix, you have like decided on that day you're going to continue to pay for that account. Well, maybe you're mooching it for someone, but you know what I mean? Like, call it something else if it's not Netflix, but like, you make money decisions every single day. And to think that money is taboo or you can't or shouldn't talk about it until much later on or until you're talking about going on a vacation together for the first time or moving in together. I try not to say like you're doing something wrong. I just try to say you're skating on thin ice.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. Like, it's just risky. You might be fine, but like, probably not.
Well, and before we make, you know, rash decisions about that relationship, you know, I just think that we should be having some of these conversations, right? Before we dive in. I mean, I'm into taking it slow, but, you know, it gets really easy to like somebody. And I feel like this absolutely needs be part of the conversation. And it's just not as much, right? We're just kind of like, you know, and if you've been single for a long time, you might be like, well, I've got my stuff over here and they can have their stuff over there. And I'm not saying that that's bad or good. Like, if that's what you guys work out, like, there's stuff that Danny and I combine and there's stuff that we keep separate.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what works for us. But I think that's also the important thing of what you're always going to say. And what I'm always going to say is, you know, learn how to have a conversation around it.
Yeah.
You know, try to do enough work around it that you don't have shame around it so that you are scared to talk about it. Right.
Yeah,
and
totally.
What do you think? And, you know, this like Veronica, like, what do you kind of work with women on to help them with that?
I like people to know, I think a really great starting place is this idea of every penny has a purpose. So whether you spend it, whether you save it, whether you invest it, or whether you give it away, you know exactly where it's going and why. And so this is just like a flowery way of saying you have a budget.
Right. It's very nice. Very nice.
But I think it really, like, I know budgets are like, oh God, a budget. Like, I hear you, but well, I hear all of the, well, I guess I don't hear it right now, but all the people listening, like, oh God. However, you know, cause when it comes to relationships, I really don't care if someone combines finances 100%, if they do a little hybrid or keep everything 100% separate. I think all three can be beautiful models as long as they work for that individual couple. But I think having every penny have a purpose really helps to be the foundation for whatever system you want to build, both with yourself and then with a potential partner, again, in whichever way you want to do in terms of like the actual like accounting of it all. But I think that, let's see, there's a few reasons why, or a few reasons why every penny has a purpose is so powerful. One is because you probably have more money than you think you do. A lot of people will.
I would love like, that to be the truth.
Well, when you don't have a purpose for your money, like every penny, then you're much more susceptible to blowing it on something that may or may not optimize your joy that you could get out of it.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden,
such as working with us, Veronica. Yeah.
And
right.
So then also there's something you want to do and you're like, damn, I don't have the money for it. And then this feeds this narrative.
Right.
Right. And so, so I think that's one of the most like, and this is like the tangible stuff, like the intangible stuff we talked about earlier in terms of like your relationship with money, clearing your money story, all that kind of stuff. But in terms of like the tangible piece of it that I think it's always going to be evolving. It's always going to be changing. This is not something you set in stone because you change, like, hopefully right. You're getting raises, maybe new jobs, maybe you have some side income coming from somewhere, life events happen, you move somewhere, you buy versus rent, or you rent versus buy, or you get married, or you have a kid, or like whatever, like life events will happen. So like where those pennies are going will change. So this is something that like, I think that everyone should just have a habit of looking at least once a quarter. Oh, this once a quarter is good. And just like, is this working for me? Like, does this, it's kind of like the same idea as, oh God, what's her name? Does this bring me joy? Who's Marie Kondo?
Oh, sparks joy. Yes. Marie Kondo. Yes.
And look, I understand it's not fun to pay your electricity bill or your car insurance or like, whatever. Like I get it. You have to just eat a shit sandwich sometimes.
Right. Right.
But, you know, if you can like optimize the absolute needs, again, electricity bill, you know, somewhere to live,
all the
like
things
that.
right
but then really spend some time and take and some and put some thought into how can this penny bring me the most amount of joy and like really be that intentional about it. I think that's a beautiful foundation for money and within yourself, but then also within a relationship. I always say that money is just a tool. It's just like a hammer. It can build a house, it can kill somebody. Right. So what are you using your money for? Not saying you're killing somebody with your money, but like, is your money just like a way for you to like cope with stress or anxiety or filling an empty void or whatever? Or can you really use it as something, as a tool to like create this life? And yeah, maybe like, maybe you do need to expand the amount of pennies that right. you have. That's fine. But then like from there, I feel like it's so much easier to close the gap. As opposed to like not really knowing where your money goes. And then you're like, oh, I just need more. And it's like, okay, but yes. And for what and for what purpose and how will that help you specifically rather than just like filling in the void again and again and again. And I think this can happen both individually, but they can also happen within a couple. I think this is why people get into financial trouble, like opening up a credit card or buying a house with somebody. Because like, oh, this makes us real or this makes it legit or this makes it, you know, something, you know, whatever that void is
right
within the relationship that you're looking to fill. But if you can do that for yourself, within yourself, with literally where you're putting your pennies, then I think you're just less susceptible to that kind of stuff. I don't think I answered your question or not.
It did. And it's mostly just like the truth of self-awareness and you know what I mean? And just living and like dating with intention, right? Yeah. Like looking at something enough to never let it be the shame or the guilt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like taking care of it enough that you, it's never something that's in the way from love.
Yeah, totally.
If that makes sense.
Totally. And by the way, like, my husband and I have completely separate accounts. We don't have one shared account. And that's because I will admit, I go over and beyond in terms of how I organize my money, and it's a little too much for him. He's like, I can't take this, but you can do whatever you want as long as it's right within yourself.
Right. And with your partner. And that's the thing that people sometimes are like, you know, well, so what if I want them to pay because they make more money? And I'm like, then you figure that out when you're in a relationship.
Yeah, you talk about it.
Right. But that's not necessarily important when you're dating. Veronica, this has been such a good, important, helpful conversation. If people want to know more about you and working on their finances, whether they're single, whether they're in a relationship, how do they find you?
Well, the best place is, well, there's a couple places. I hang out on Instagram and TikTok pretty much every day. I'm Veronica E. Grant in both places, and I send a little daily money lesson out there. But another free resource that I think your people might like is the financial checklist for the Savvy Woman that I put together. And basically what it is like, you probably heard or maybe not have heard of like 401ks, Roth, 529, savings accounts, like, what do I do? Or when do I do it? So the checklist takes you through all of those things, like to do this. Well, you go through and you check off everything that you do, and then you go back to the top of the list and you look at your unchecked items, and then that becomes basically your to-do list. And I put it in a specific order so that it just makes sense, you know, in terms of like the financial perspective, because people are like, pay off debt or find an emergency fund or whatever. So I got you. So you can download that over at veronicagrant.com/checklist. Or maybe it's money checklist, veronicagrant.com/money checklist. I think they both go to the same place, but it's totally free. And those are the best places.
Awesome. Thank you for being here. This was really helpful. You guys go follow Veronica. She is one of my favorite people, and she also knows a shit ton about love. So she really adds that into her information. I'm a huge fan. Thank you for joining us. And everybody, just remember to meet love halfway.
Thanks so much for having me.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.